Romans chapter 10, verse 10 down through verse number 17. And then we're going to go through a couple lessons at least. And we're going to continue our soul winning training. So let's stand, please, for the reading of God's word. Romans chapter number 10 and verse number 9. Let's go to verse number 9. Romans 10, 9. That if thou shalt confess with thy mouth the Lord Jesus, and shalt believe in thine heart that God hath raised him from the dead, thou shalt be saved. For with the heart man believeth unto righteousness, and with the mouth confession is made unto salvation. For the scripture saith, whosoever believeth on him shall not be ashamed. For there is no difference between the Jew and the Greek, for the same Lord over all is rich unto all that call upon him. For whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. How then shall they call on him in whom they have not believed? And how shall they believe in him in whom they have not heard? And how shall they hear without a preacher? And how shall they preach except they be sent? As it is written, how beautiful are the feet of them that preach the gospel of peace and bring glad tidings of good things. But they have not all obeyed the gospel, for Isaiah said, Lord, who hath believed our report? So then faith cometh by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. Heavenly Father, thank you for these powerful, powerful scriptures, Lord. Help us to not only understand salvation at one time in our life, but are used, dear God, over and over again to help others to understand. So, Lord, I pray that as we continue to teach our soul-winning course, Lord, that you'll bless us, Lord. And, dear God, give us a teachable heart, a teachable spirit. And, Lord, I pray that, Lord, also within us would build the desire to win somebody to Christ, whether we have in the past before, whether we never have before, that, Lord, you just re-energize that in our life. And the song says, lead me to some soul today. Oh, teach me, Lord, just what to say. And, Lord, we certainly need your help, not only in the keeping of divine appointments, but also, Lord, in the knowing of what to say to each individual. And Lord, may we be better and ready for that moment, we pray in Jesus' name. Amen, and you may be seated. If you have your notes, if you'll go to soul winning lesson three, I'm going to go through this kind of an introduction, not spend a ton of time on this, and then I'm going to have you move forward into lesson five, and then we're going to just get into lesson six enough to teach you how to mark your Bibles. For those of you that are new at this. And so lesson three, proper preparation for soul winning. The little quote in the box says, greatness is in the preparation, not in the performance. And a lot of your success in anything in life is how prepared you are going into it. I always break down my preparation by reviewing and remembering that I'm a triune creation made in the image of God. It helps me a lot in my Christian life. I refer to that a lot. I know how God made me. And so I know how to do a checklist in my own heart and in my own life. And so there's this is the outline that I've used in teaching proper preparation for soul winning. Physically, you should be prepared. If you're going to go out and represent the Lord Jesus Christ, folks, listen, I just believe that Christians, if they go out and they're going to be a witness for the Lord, they ought to look sharp. They ought to be well-groomed. You ought to be dressed appropriately. Remember, you're representing the Lord Jesus Christ, and you're also representing Blessed Hope Baptist Church. And so dress up, look sharp, be aware, number three, of your possibility of bad breath. Breath mints is good. It's always a blessing. It's a blessing for you. It's a blessing for others. And so breath mints, all right? Make sure you have the right tools. You say, preacher, what do I know as far as tools? Well, you need a soul-winning New Testament. Now, let me just encourage you, we ordered 20 of these, and they are back available after the service, back where we sell the books and all of that. And what are we charging for these? $16, all right, $15 a piece. I'm a master at making money, I just am. We paid $16, we'll take $15, amen. So there you go, we'll get you a deal today. But I just believe something. For those of you that are, if you're a carpenter, you know what you tend to do? You go out and get good tools. Now, if I wasn't a full-time carpenter, I'd go to probably Harbor Freight and buy tools. But if I'm doing it every day of my life, I'm going to buy some good tools. You know what? If you're going to be a soul winner, get good tools. Get you a good, high-quality New Testament. And you're going to need that because this is what you're going to use to show people how to be saved. And so you need a New Testament with you, gospel tracts, because remember, you're not always going to have the opportunity to get to your Bible, so at least get them a gospel tract. It's good to have something, an ink pen, and something to write down information on, okay? Because you're going to want to get that person's name and address if you win them to Christ so that you can do proper follow-up. And so have the right tools. Carry an ink pen. Make sure you shine your shoes. Dress for the weather so that you don't get out there and then the devil tempts you to cut it short because, you know what, you didn't dress warm enough. So just get ready to go. Physically prepare yourself. Number two, mentally prepare yourself. And I think it's like anything else in life. Most of you young ladies, I notice that if it's your turn to play a special on Wednesday night, what you will find is Wednesday afternoon, they will find a time to come in here, and they'll go through that song several times and brush up and prepare. So I think it's just as wise for you to do some mental preparation before you go soul winning. If you're fairly new at it, and I still do this to this day, I will, a lot of times before I go soul winning, I'll just walk myself through the plan of salvation. I'll just, you know what, if I haven't had a chance to share it in a while, it's amazing. If you go a little bit of time and you haven't had a chance to share it, how you all of a sudden, you're not as sharp as you used to be. So I'll just go through it and review the main points in my mind, go through the verses, and just, you know, takes me 2 or 3 minutes, and I just make sure that I remember the proper sequence and think of the things I need to say and just do a little mental practice before I go soul winning. Practice giving your testimony. We've been asking you to work on that, write it down and get it ready and be willing to share that. So go over it again in your mind. What you're going to say. I'm going to give them a gospel track, and then I'm going to tell them I'd like to share with them the greatest thing that ever happened to me, and then take a few minutes and go through your testimony. I think it's important when you go soul winning to cast your cares upon the Lord. You know what? All of us carry burdens, and all of us have things that are mentally distracting going on in our life. I don't suppose there's anybody up here anybody in our church that could stand up right now and say, praise the Lord, preacher, there's not a problem in our life. There's not every single thing is A+, and everybody's got something that if we're not careful is a mental distraction to us. But what we want to do is make sure that when we go soul winning, we're focused on that. And so if I do have a heartache, or I do have a worry, or I do have a burden, or I do have something that's just taking a lot of my thought process, before I go soul winning, I'll just say, Lord, you know, for the next hour, hour and a half, Lord, I really just need to give you this. I don't want to be distracted from what you're having me to do. So, Lord, I'm going to cast my care upon you, knowing that you care for me, and I'm going to put that off to the side. And you know what? It'll be there when I get done. But right now, I want to focus on souls. And so mental preparation. Number four, this helps me. Choose a good song about reaching the lost. Sing it the day that you're going to go soul winning. Pick one of them in the morning, just sing it to yourself throughout the day. It kind of prepares your heart. Review your soul winning notes. Focus your mind fresh upon the task at hand. Purpose number six, to keep the conversation with your soul winning partner upon the things of the Lord. And this is a big help. We're going to talk a minute about the importance of going in twos, and at least if you possibly can, I think it's a good thing. But if you're not careful, if you go with somebody and in between houses, you're talking about anything and everything other than the task at hand, it's hard to keep changing gears back and forth. So I would just say to my soul winning partner, you know what, while we're going soul winning, let's talk about souls, let's keep our mind on spiritual things, let's keep focused on that, and then afterwards we'll talk about everything else in the world. But I'd stay focused on that. Memorize and meditate on soul winning scripture portions to help you be mentally prepared. One of the real things that I think is so important, and I do it often, is before you go soul winning, maybe you ought to just go over to Luke chapter 16. Maybe you ought to just find a quiet place. Maybe you ought to go revisit that rich man that's still in hell asking for one drop of water. And remember that lost man that is praying that somebody will go to their family. And lead me to some soul today. And just get your heart ready for that. Get focused. And folks, listen to me. I cannot stress the importance of this. I cannot stress the importance of what we do when we share the gospel. This is eternity for people. This is big league. This is a big deal. I don't know what you think in your life's all that gigantic and big and important, but I promise you it pales in comparison to the winning of souls. This is an eternal thing. Whatever problems I have today, 100 years from now, ain't going to matter at all. But what's going to matter 100 years from now is whether or not I got to win my friends and family to the Lord Jesus Christ. So, you know, understand the bigness of it. And then the spiritual preparation. Notice what it says, 1, 2, 3, and 4. What's the first word there? Pray, 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 pray. All right, pray. And I believe this. Boy, you want to go prayed up when you're going so. Pray for lost souls. Praise the Lord. Pray that the Lord will give you the compassion of Christ. We heard about it this morning, the compassion of the Lord Jesus Christ. Pray for the Holy Spirit to fill you and direct you as you go. Pray before you go, as you go, and after you go, give thanks to the Lord. I don't think that soul winning day is the third. Hey, Wednesdays, young people, wouldn't be a good day to skip morning devotions, all right? I think I'd want to be as right with God as I possibly could be if I'm going to go out, because I want the power of God. I want the blessing of God. 1 John 1:9, be confessed up. I mean, man, just get your heart, you know, clean before the Lord before you go. You don't want unconfessed sin. Nothing that would hinder the God be able to use you to the fullest amount. And then be right with others. If you're not, get right with them. I think it's important to be right with God, right with other people. And so you can use this little checklist and from time to time just go through it, and it'll help you go through a preparation time. Now, let me have you go to lesson 5. We're going to get more and more now into the actual soul winning encounter. And I'm going to talk to you a little bit. And what I'm going to talk and train you on is the matter of what I call cold turkey or just door knocking. I might do things a little different when I'm doing a follow-up visit. Somebody's already visited the church. I've called. I've made an appointment with them. I'm going to handle that a little different. But I'm going to talk to you about just, hey, we're going to pick this street. We're going to go down this side. We're going to do the next 2 or 3 blocks. We're going to knock on doors, meet people, and see if the Lord will open up opportunities for us to share the gospel with them. That's kind of the context of what I'm going to teach here. Lesson 5 is called Contact, Conversation, Testimony, and Question. And this is kind of a buildup to the presentation of the gospel. You want to make contact with people. There's a lot of folks not home, but you know what? Never let that discourage you. You knock on a door, nobody comes to the door. You know what that means? They're either not home or they saw you coming. One of the two things. They're probably not home. Hey, you know what? When I leave a track in a door, I always pray and say, Lord, you know what? I didn't get a chance to talk to them face to face, but Lord, here's the gospel. Here's the gospel. Help them not to just pick it up, throw it away. May they sit down. May they read it. God, use this. And I think we're going to get to heaven. Folks, we have left gospel tracts all over this community over and over and over again. And I think there's going to be some neat stories in heaven of what God did with those gospel tracts. And so you got to make the contact. You knock on doors, and your goal is to meet people and to talk to people. Now, one of the most important things in soul winning is to learn to win a person to yourself so that you can win the person to Christ. Be genuine, sincere, prayed up, compassionate, and above all, be real. I'm not trying to teach you like somebody would train somebody to sell a car. This isn't a salesman's pitch, okay? This is real people that are born-again Christians talking to people that are not saved and sharing the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ. But let me just say this. The ability to carry on a good conversation and then to turn that conversation to the gospel is something that is best learned and perfected by just going and doing it. Going with somebody that's experienced, listening to them, watching them, watch how they handle situations. No two visits are exactly alike. And so you got to be flexible. You want to meet that person. I mentioned last week, always clearly introduce yourself. And then after that, ask them for their name. You knock on the door, take a step back, have a gospel tract ready, or something in your hand from the church, and to make sure it's got the church's name on it. I always like for them to see Blessed Oak Baptist Church so they know that I'm from a church. And then when the person answers the door, I want to introduce myself. Hello, my name is Pastor Jerry Ross from the Blessed Oak Baptist Church in Jasonville, Indiana. And I wanted to come by and leave this with you and get to meet you. What's your name, sir? And then one of the things that helps me when they tell you their name, repeat it. Repeat it. Are some of you as bad as I am? Somebody will tell me their name, and honestly, 10 seconds later, if you offered me $1 million, I couldn't tell you their name. One of the things that has helped me tremendously, if he says my name is Jim Jones, okay? All right. I've always wanted to win Jim Jones to the Lord, so I'll say, Jim, it's sure good to meet you, Jerry Ross. And I say it's something, but when I say the name, I remember the name. If I don't say it, I don't remember. By the way, that works on Sundays, too, as you're greeting visitors and stuff. If you ask them, what's your name? And the young lady this morning, Ashley Boone, just say, Ashley, it's good to see you. And I can't tell you how important it is of saying that name, and that will connect it. to her, and it'll give you a lot better chance of remembering the name later on. So you introduce yourself, ask for their name. You have the track. You want to get it into their hand as soon as possible. So immediately I'll say, I want to drop this off to you and give this to you. And by the way, what's your name? And as I'm giving it to them, then they give me their name. And then I've made that initial contact. Repeat the person's name and then use it in the conversation after that, and that'll help you. The conversation then. As you go to somebody's house, folks, listen to me. I don't force this, by the way. What I'm going to teach you right now, I don't force. Sometimes there's something that I see as I'm coming onto the property. You know, the poor guy's got a Chicago Bears license plate on his truck, you know. And guess what? I've got a connect point then. I can knock on the door and just burst out into tears, and we can both cry together and say, why did we choose this stupid team? And figure out different ways we can assassinate Jay Cutler and all of those things, you know. But it gives us a connect there. Me and my wife was visiting not too long ago in Hymera, and a guy opened the door, and there was a beautiful, beautiful deer that he had killed that he had mounted behind him. And I said, hello, my name's Pastor Jerry Ross, and whoa, okay, all right, I'm looking past you, sir. Did you kill that? And he invited me in the house and showed me his trophies, and we talked about deer. I don't think we ever did get to the gospel, but we talked about deer hunting. And just something to connect with. And so, again, I don't force it, but if I do see something or there's something that I can talk to them about, break the ice a little bit, I think that's a good thing. I like to talk to people, and I think you just got to listen. I think part of being a good soul winner is just liking people. You know, I just make up my mind. Before they enter the door, I'm going to like them. I'm going to like them if they cuss me. I'm going to like them if they're nice to me. I'm not going to like them if they're not nice to me. I do. I like people, and I like talking to people, and I just make up my mind, you know what, I'm going to try to get to know this person, find out a little bit about them. Sometimes I'll say, if you don't have anything else to ask, sometimes you can say this: have you lived in Linton, if I'm visiting Linton, have you lived in Linton your whole life, or have you moved here? And, oh, no, I moved here 10 years ago. I used to live in such and such a place. Is that right? And if they say, oh, I've been here my whole life, say, wow, you've seen a lot of changes, then, oh, yeah, my goodness sakes, and we talk a little bit. And again, just try to find out a little bit about them, ask them where they work at, things like that, all right? But I think just a conversation. I don't rattle on forever. I don't want to take a lot of people's time, but at the same time, I want to get them to know them a little bit. Then after that, after the opening conversation, Mrs. Jones, like I said earlier, I'm visiting from Blessed Hope Baptist Church. Wanted really to drop off the gospel track there. I wanted you to have that. And I'd also like to share with you the best thing that ever happened to me. And then I'll go right into my testimony as we demonstrated last week. And share your own personal testimony with them and tell them how you got saved. Again, don't draw out. Usually 2 or 3 minutes. Condense it down and tell them about it. And then that can lead you very easily into the question, okay? After you have shared how you were saved, you can conclude by saying something like this: since the day I was saved, I've had a wonderful peace in my heart. I a lot of times say this, folks, listen, you know, sir, I'll be honest with you, before I got saved, I used to lay awake at nights and wonder about eternity and worry about what would happen to me. And what a peace since then that I can lay my head on my pillow every night since I got saved, knowing that I'm going to go to heaven one of these days. And sir, do you have that peace? Do you have that assurance? If you died right now, are you 100% sure that you go to heaven? Now see, what I've done is I've given my testimony, and I've told him my testimony. Now listen, remember the three? They've got the gospel track in their hand by now. They've just heard how I've gotten saved. And now I've asked them the question, and I'm asking them if they know 100% sure if they were to die, they'd go to heaven. That's the question. And you ought to say it like that, okay? Because a lot of people have had some type of a religious experience, but it's hard for them if they have not been biblically, scripturally saved. It's hard for them to say, I'm 100% sure, unless they've had a real, genuine salvation experience. So what if they say yes? Yes, I absolutely know that for sure. And I'll say this: well, could you tell me about that? How do you know for sure? Have you received Christ? Could you tell me when you got saved, where you got saved? And I can find out usually real quick whether or not what they're talking about is the same thing that what I'm talking about. And you'll get all kinds of crazy things sometimes. But most of the time, by the way, folks, listen, just because someone didn't grow up in a Baptist church don't mean they're lost. And I'll tell you, God's merciful. And there's a lot of churches that I would differ in some of their doctrine, but at least they do preach the gospel and people do get saved in their churches. And so just don't assume because they don't go to an independent fundamental Baptist church, they're not born again. And a lot of times you'll talk to somebody and they'll say, yes, I got saved. I went to a church camp when I was a kid. I went to vacation Bible school. Sunday school teacher talked to me. My grandma talked to me. And they'll have a good, solid salvation testimony. And you know what? After that, what I ask them is, now, are you going to church now? Because I've established they're a saved person. Are you going to church now? Well, you know, we kind of got out of church and we've been busy and I work every other Sunday. And be honest with you, it's a little more difficult. Then I can just try to get them to come to church. And I want to promote Blessed Hope Baptist Church. I'm going to tell them about some of the things that's happening around here and say, you know what? You've heard me say this a lot. You know what? I'm sure that life is, your life is a lot like mine, ups and downs and all of that. But one of the things I often ask people is, you know what? If you put God in the middle of something, is it going to be better? If you take God out of the center of something, is it going to be better or worse? And what I found out is if you'll be faithful and give God the Lord's Day, you know, you told me you're a born-again Christian. Well, we got a good church, a chance to grow in grace, a chance to get your children in Sunday school. And I just put it out there and invite them to church and then leave it in the hands of the Lord and hope to see them on the next Sunday. So if they say yes, that they have, I double check. If they give me some answer as far as, yes, I know, I believe I'm going to be, yes, I think I would go to heaven. I absolutely do. Then I say, well, you know, why do you believe that you're going to heaven? Have you been saved and all that? Well, I've always tried to be a pretty good person and, you know, this, that, and the other, and I realize they're trusting on their good works. Then a lot of times what I'll do at that point, depending on the answer they give me, and again, don't be nervous about all of this if you don't know all the answers in the beginning, okay? But one of the verses that I love to go to, if they give me a works-based salvation, is I go to Ephesians chapter 2, verse 8 and 9, and I just show them, for by grace are you saved through faith, that not of yourself, it's a gift of God, not of works, lest any man should boast. And I appreciate the fact that you try to be a good person, but you know, sir, being a good person and being born again is two different things. Could I take a few minutes and show you from the Bible how you can be born again, how you can be saved? And then again, they may say no at that point. They may say yes at that point, but I try to get the gospel to them. What if I ask the question, preacher, if you died right now, do you know for sure you go to heaven? Are you 100% sure? And they say, no, I can't say that I am 100% sure. Again, this is giving you an opportunity now to share the gospel with them. And so at that point, I'll tell you exactly what I do. If they say, no, I don't know for sure I go to heaven, what I do is I usually right then go ahead and reach in my back pocket and I pull the Bible out and I say, you know what? I told you a minute ago how that preacher knelt at the altar with me and showed me some verses and showed me how to get saved. I carry this little New Testament with me and watch this. I've already got it out and open now, okay? They may still say no, but I've got it open now. And I said, you know what I'd like to do? I'd like to take just a couple minutes of your time and just show you the same verses, some of the same verses that preacher showed me these many years ago that helped me settle this in my heart. Would you give me just a couple minutes to share a few verses with you? And I mean, I've got the Bible turned. I'm ready to go, okay? Now, they may just say, no, I don't have time. And if they don't, that's fine. Remember, folks, you are a guest at their house. You're a guest at their house. And you know what? If we're not careful, sometimes we can push things to the point where all we do is leave a bad taste in somebody's mouth concerning Christians and giving the gospel. If they just flat tell me, you know, I really don't have time for that. I've got to go. I've got to meet somebody. I got to go to work. Whatever their reason or excuse is, what I'll do is close my Bible immediately. And I'll say, you know, on that track I just gave you, would you flip it over? Every verse I was going to show you, it's right there. If you get a chance, would you read that maybe before you go to bed tonight or sometime today? Would it be possible? Would you have the time to do that? And usually they'll tell me, yes, I will. And you know, folks, that's good. Remember what the preacher said this morning? Somebody witnessed to him and they walked away from that encounter, probably not feeling like it did any good, but a seed was sown. And folks, listen to me. When we get to heaven, I think we're going to find out what those people that we won to Christ, because we happen to be the one there when they got saved, we're going to see a lot of people previous to our encounter with them get rewards in heaven that are equal to ours because they did the planting, they did the watering, they did the praying, they did the witnessing. I just happened to be there in that for that divine encounter the day that they got saved. But I'll tell you, if that's true, then that means a lot of our witnessing is going to be the planting and the watering. It's not always going to be somebody gets saved on the spot. And so I don't push people. I'm not an arm twister. I don't try here's seven different ways you can trick somebody to pray. I'm not into all of that. To me, that's ridiculous. And not only that, to me, that's wicked, just to be honest with you. Because that's more about your pride and you wanting to come back and tell somebody you got them saved than that person's eternity. And so I didn't never gauge my success out soul winning on how many people actually get saved. I gauge my success on obedience. Am I out doing what God asked me to do? Have I made every attempt at every house to get the gospel to those people? And a lot of times I can get it one way, sometimes two ways, sometimes three ways. Sometimes a person gets saved. A lot of times a person doesn't get saved. But God uses those encounters that you have made and those contacts that you have made. We're going to, in one of our sessions, we're going to show you, and I won't do it tonight, but we're going to actually bring somebody up here and show you a demonstration. I think one of the best ways to learn soul winning is just watch somebody do it. And so I'll get one of my staff members, several of them are lost, and I'll choose one, and I'll bring them up here and just go through the plan of salvation, just give you a demonstration. We'll work on that. One more thing before we close out for tonight. Go to lesson number 6, and I'll go into this more, in more depth as we do the demonstration. But right now, I want to just have you do something. Now, like I said, get you a good soul winning New Testament. You can go back there, or if you don't have one, you can go back there to our book, what do we call that thing? Do we have a name for it? Our book, bookstore. Bookstore, that's fine. Yeah, it's a little store. But, man, whatever. But our bookstore back there, whatever. I started to say our book booth. And the book booth? Book booth? I don't know what it is. But anyway, you can go back there and get this. Now, I'm going to show you something. You don't think I'm sacrilegious, but as soon as you get a brand new Testament Bible, you want to go to Romans chapter number 3, and this is what you want to do. Romans chapter number 3, make sure you can see verse number 10, and then you take your new Testament and you do this with it. That's what you do with it right there. Oh, preacher, it's brand new. I know. But you want that thing, when you open it up, to flop open to that verse. I mean, that's where you want it to go, because nothing's more embarrassing than getting to the first house and saying, let's see, and you're nervous anyway. And all of a sudden, it's like Matthew, Mark, Luke, Acts, Luke, and you can't find Romans, So I got my Bibles trained where, I open them up and boom, there they are. I'm at that first verse. You say, well, and by the way, they do have this that you can put on there for Romans chapter 3, but I'll tell you, there's a reason that I don't put that there. I'm going to have to leave the book of Romans one time during my soul winning presentation. I love to go back to Revelation chapter 21. I think it's vital. I think it's important, and I'll tell you why. But I want it to open up to Romans chapter 3. Okay, remember, these are tools, right? This is a tool, good tool. And gentlemen, you get the tool, you set it up the way it's going to work best for you. So you go ahead and just kind of break the binding right there so it'll open up right there. And it won't destroy it or do anything, but it'll make it just open up. That's why you want to buy a good one. You buy a cheap one and do that, and you're going to be looking on the ground for the pages of your Bible, which one is in there. Now, let me tell you what you do here. If you look on lesson 6, soul winning, the soul winning presentation, I'm going to walk you through it. Now, one of the most important things for a brand new soul winner is to mark your Bibles properly, because I promise you, especially when you start and you're a little nervous at this, it's amazing how you can go brain dead. It's amazing how you can forget all of a sudden in the middle of a... So we're going to give you a little cheat system here as far as knowing where to go next as far as the verses. You'll notice under number 1, I'll say there's 4. If somebody says yes, you can show me. Yeah, I'd like you to, I got my Bible up. Would you let me show you a few verses? Sure. And I'll say there's 4 important things that a person must understand and believe in order to go to heaven. The first one is that you're a sinner. And then I'll read those verses. Okay, so we're launching right into it. Now notice, here's what the order that I'm going to go through. Watch this. Under number 1, where it says we are sinners, I'm going to show him 2 verses, Romans 3:10, Romans 3:23. If you'll look under number 2, after Romans 3:23, I'm going to Romans 5:12. then 6:23, and then I'm going to go, still under number 2, down to Revelation, back to Revelations 21:8. Then I'm coming back to Romans 6:23. Then I'm going to Romans 5:8. And then I'm going and going to end up in Romans chapter number 10, verse 9. So, preacher, how do I remember where to go next? Well, right beside Romans 3:10, that's the one you have to remember. That's the very first one, but it's going to fall open there anyway. Right after, beside Romans 3:10, you can write in your Bible in the margin over here, 3:23. So as soon as you get done reading that verse, you have the reference of the next verse that you're going to go to. You'll go over to Romans 3:23, for all have sinned and come short of the glory of God, and right beside that is 5:12. And that reminds you what the next verse to go to. And that's a huge help. When I first learned to be a soul winner, I had every one of my Bibles marked that way. And even for years after that, just because it kind of was a safety net for me. And I don't know, even some of you experienced soul winners, I don't know, sometimes we just all of a sudden go, and all of a sudden, you know, it's crazy, but you can forget. And then you go over to Romans 5:12, and next to it, you're going to write 6:23. So what you've done is you've made a little map through your New Testament so that you know where to go if you forget by just looking. You say, preacher, when I'm reading the verse as it is written, there's none righteous, no, not one, and there's this 3:23 beside it. What's the person going to think? They're not going to think anything about it, okay? I don't think they're going to say, oh, I'm not going to get saved because he's got 3:23 and I'm... They don't, you know, we overthink things. They're not going to think a thing. And even if halfway through it they figure it out, you know, they'll probably think, that's pretty smart, you know. He knows where to go next. And so don't worry about that. Just go to it. So what I'd like you to do between now and next Sunday night is to get your soul winning New Testament and just mark it accurately. I underline every verse that I'm going to show them. So when my Bible flops open, chapter 3, I see verse 10 underlined. I see verse 23 underlined. I don't have to search up and down the page. I know right where to go. I don't have in this Bible, but you should have if you're new or if it helps you. The reference is written beside it. And so get your soul-winning New Testament. Get to every verse that you're going to show them, underline it, and then put the references beside it. And that'll help you to draw a map of where you're going as we lead somebody to Christ. So the soul winning presentation is in your Bible and ready to go. Next week what we're going to do is, Lord willing, we'll do a soul winning demonstration, and we'll teach through, first of all, the soul winning presentation here, and then we will do a soul winning demonstration so you can see it for yourself. And then the last lesson that we teach on this will be on follow-up, and I think one of the lessons I put down this title, He Got Saved, Now What Do I Do? And just the proper follow-up and what to do with somebody who does receive Jesus Christ as their Savior. Let's bow for a word of prayer. Heavenly Father, as we continue through, Lord, these series of teaching lessons, I pray, Lord, that you'll refresh our memory for many of us, dear God, and just help us to have a recommitment and better confidence in what we're doing. And then, Lord, for others that are learning, dear God, just help them and bless them, dear God. Take a step at a time. And Lord, thank you for this opportunity to just go through and train folks in the matter of soul winning. Lord, we pray, dear God, please, Lord, that you'd, as you're preparing us to be soul winners, that you would begin to prepare the hearts of people around us to be saved. And so, Lord, as we begin the process of preparation, Lord, we ask that there would be a Holy Spirit preparation in the hearts of people that you would lead us to, Lord. And Lord, I pray, dear God, as a result of what we're doing here, many, many folks will come to Christ. We pray these things in Jesus' name.